invite Pastor Bill Acey to come on up.
Good morning, church. Church is good today, right? There's never a bad day at North Shore Fellowship. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Let me get a look at you. Good morning. My wife likes this about me, that I'm a sap for these drawers. Does anybody at home have one of these sets of drawers? It's got knickknacks, it's got screws, it's got bolts, it's got cotter pins. Frank, do you have one in the, you do? Yeah, okay. So I literally get emotional about these drawers. And it's because I didn't buy them. Somebody else bought them along, I have two sets. Somebody else bought them, and this one has washers and whatnot in it. Somebody else bought them some time ago. And this particular set is from my friend Chuck. And he's way older than me. And at some point, he gave me a lot of his stuff, his fixin' stuff. And he set things in here on purpose. And not too long ago, my hand truck, you know, those things you use to move heavy things around, my hand truck needed a new cotter pin on it. And I went to the set of drawers that I get emotional about, and I opened the drawer for the cotter pins, and in there was a cotter pin. I took it out, and I fixed my hand truck, and I got back to work. I drew upon a resource that someone in a different time and place set aside so that I could get a job done. And that's part of what we're talking about today. Is setting aside resources so that someone in a different time and place can get a job done for the kingdom of God. Way more important than a hand truck. So it's true. I get emotional about this. I was going over the opening of the message today, and I literally had to like take a break. Like, I just love that he did that. Today is Great Commission Sunday, and we are a Christian and Missionary Alliance church. Sometimes when I tell people that, they're like, what? I thought we were an independent, non-denominational church, but we're actually part of something really pretty big and pretty cool. And God used the Christian and Missionary Alliance church, the seminary in particular, to convince me that the organized church in the world was still good. The organized church in the world is still good. You see things in the news and you hear things and you get frustrated, but God is still using his church. He's still using his church. So about 150 years ago, the Christian and Missionary Alliance began as a ministry to the dock workers of New York City, and then very quickly became a sending organization, sending missionaries, sending missionaries, sending missionaries. And as a result of that, there are 20,000 Christian and missionary churches outside of the United States, and there's 2,000 in the United States. So we have been sending and sending and sending, and now those churches that have started from the missionaries that were sent are starting other churches, and countries are blessing countries are blessing countries. It is cool how the Christian and Missionary Alliance has developed. And we are active participants in the Great Commission. We are all active participants in the Great Commission. And I will explain exactly what that is in a little bit. Although missionary is in the name of our organization, Christian and Missionary Alliance, we are starting to not use the word missionary. Because they're going to places where it's dangerous. And if missionary is on their business card and missionary is after their name and people are researching, why are these people in my neighborhood, in my country, doing good things? And they find out that they're a missionary. Well, they might lose their visa. They might get kicked out. And we'll explain a little bit about how that works around the world. So we are starting to learn to call our missionaries international workers. So repeat after me, international worker. International worker, thank you. And we've got missionaries, international workers, in so many different countries, 140 different locations. I've got a friend in France, Tasha's brother and sister-in-law is in the Czech Republic, in Israel. And if you're going on vacation, you can be like, do I have an international worker in this country? Or you see something on the news, you could say, is the Christian Missionary Alliance there? And you can look it up through the websites. So we have international workers. And when I meet them, I'm like feel like I'm meeting a famous person, somebody who's willing to give up so much, to leave their home country, to leave their comfortable situation for the sake of the gospel. And now we will look at some scripture, okay? Acts 1:8. Let me set the setting a little bit. This is with the disciples, and this is after the ministry of Jesus. This is at the end. And it's a quiet moment with just the disciples. And Jesus says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Because Jesus is getting to go, and the Holy Spirit is getting ready to come. "When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And Jesus provides a concentric circle of geography regarding this part of the Great Commission. And if we could get those circles up on the screen, I'll walk through that a little bit. Okay, so, looks like a target behind me. So Jerusalem. Jerusalem is like our home, our neighborhood, our church right here, our place of work. It's like close to home. And Jesus is blessing the disciples to tell the good news close to home. And he's blessing them to go further out. Judea, like the state or the region. And I don't know if you know it, but there was a handsome bald man standing right here a few minutes ago. That's Rob. Rob and his wife, they are supported to not just to bless our church, but they're with an organization called Acts International. And they actually go to other churches and help them develop their worship program. So that's cool. And that is part of the Judea part of the Great Commission, the state or region. And then one more layer out, Samaria, our country. I like to think of all the good churches in the United States as being part of that level of the Great Commission. And we have about 2,000 Christian Missionary Alliance churches in the United States. And then today's focus is the world. And we tend to project how we experience Christianity in the United States around the world. Now, part of us knows that it's not that way. Things are different as you go around the world. I saw on Wall Township Facebook yesterday, somebody posted, "Is there a good church around here that I could go check out? Just curiosity." Within minutes, 43 answers. Boom, 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 boom. There are a lot of churches around here where people could go and hear the good news of Christ. And that, I'm going to invite Tasha up to explain how this is not true as you travel around the world.
Good morning. Good morning. You're leaving? Okay. Yeah, it's fine. I got the notes, so we're good. The Alliance categorizes the entire population of the world in three categories. And we categorize them in terms of access to the gospel. So we live in what you call a high access area. And well, let's have that slide. Okay, so I want you to imagine that these grains of rice are people, okay? And the purple one is the believer. So let's say someone moved into your neighborhood. His name, let's call him Sahim, and he wanted to find the gospel. He wanted to know if there's any point to this life. He wanted to know if there is a reason for living. He wanted to know, is there something that we can be looking forward to after this life? He could knock on six doors, and on that sixth door, he'd knock on your door, and you could say, yes, and his name is Jesus. So that's a high-access country. We have the Bible in our heart language. We have multiple versions of the Bible. We have churches, many different places. We gather together, and we are discipled, and we are encouraged to disciple others. So excited. That's a lot of rain. And so that's a high-access country. And that's where we live. That's North America, and most of South America is high access, okay? The next one is what we consider, not yet, what we consider low access. And low access countries, you may be surprised to know, that is most of Europe. Most of Europe is considered low access. They're considered post-Christian. And the slide for that, if you live in a low access country, then you, go ahead. So you're one in 500. So Sahim, let's say Sahim is living in Europe. Now he'd have to knock on 500 doors to find out that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's where my brother and his wife, Brent and Liz Hoffman, are serving in the Czech Republic. And they can get to a Bible, but it's not like there's Bible bookstores anywhere. They can have internet access and download a Bible app. So that's good. But in terms of people being on the ground who can actually display and show what a relationship with Jesus looks like, it's one in 500 doors, okay? The last category of people are people with no access. And that's actually where 80% of Alliance missionaries go. We believe that God really cares about everyone. He wants every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. These people are people that may live way really super remote places where outsiders hardly ever go. Or they may live in really urban areas where there's a majority religion like Hinduism or Islam that prevents and prohibits any kind of access to the gospel. So those people don't have access to a Bible. They don't have access to a church. They do not have the ability to download an app on their phone. Okay, these people are no access people. And that represents 3.4 billion people in the world. And if Sahim lived in one of those countries, go ahead, Jill. He'd have to knock on, here he is, here's the Christian. He'd have to knock on 30,000 doors. That means that he could be searching his whole life and never find a Christian that could say, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. And that's why 80% of our Alliance international workers go to those places. Bill, you want to come back up?
Thank you, Tasha. Oh, man, that is heavy. That is heavy. But I want to point out that the Christian and Missionary Alliance, experts on going to these hardest to reach places. And we raise up people that are willing to take the risk, because to go to these hardest to reach places, it's not just you're the only one. It's that you have to be very careful to build relationships of trust and then let the Holy Spirit leak and allow the curiosity of the other people to be wakened up. And It's a long slog for some of these missionaries. And then the fruit comes. And man, we're hearing stories out of Cambodia that is just like, whoa! The killing fields of Cambodia are the church growing fields of Cambodia now. It's incredible. And it's because people were willing to go to the hard places. So we'll look at Romans 10:14 for a minute. How then can they call upon the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. We are called to be active participants in the Great Commission. For some reason, the creator of all of everything, the savior of our souls, wants to minister through us. He wants to minister through us. We don't get to just brush it off. In one way or another, each one of us needs to know how we are connected with the Great Commission. I want to show you some of the places where the Alliance is going. We're going to do a quick video, a three-minute video, and you'll hear some of the voices of Alliance International workers, and just kind of take in these sights and sounds. Roll the videotape.
Something we say a lot is actually our presence is our strategy.
I mean, it's the story of access, you know, little to no access. And as a result, we're seeking to give people the opportunity to choose Christ.
There's one church for every 30,000 people, so you do what you do because you're the only chance they have.
People long for friends and they long to be loved. In a culture where there's like less than 1% Christians, I think, yeah, somebody's got to go.
There are many people just like us that don't know Jesus and that are lost without him.
They have the half-truth gospel.
A lot of people don't even think that God exists or that they have a soul.
They don't even realize, you know, that is something that can change their life.
Ministry flows out of relationship, and so we need to be there in order to build relationships.
On the ground, sharing the gospel, and that takes time.
That's what's needed, is people who are willing to put down roots.
And when things get really hard, we can journey with them through that.
It's very important. I mean, it was Jesus' pattern.
That's why we answered the call.
There's not a single time that we've had a conversation with somebody where they haven't come back with, we never knew that following Jesus could be like this. We didn't know that this was even possible. We've never met somebody with a living faith.
They have never heard about what Jesus has done for them. How will they know if nobody goes?
I want to repeat some of the things that were said because maybe it was a little hard to hear. Some of the clips. In a culture where there's less than 1% Christian, a lot of people don't realize they have a soul. Ministry flows out of relationship, and so we need to be there. People have said, we didn't know that this was possible. We've never met someone with a living faith. These people that we just heard from are active participants in the Great Commission. Here at North Shore Fellowship, we are Bible people. It is true that you cannot swing a cat around here without hitting somebody who has studied the Bible for years. Amen? Can you get my cat for the illustration? After a person interacts with the Bible for a while and the Spirit, we become doers of the words of the Word, like James says in chapter 1. And we become more and more like Christ. Now, this Great Commission really has two key scriptures. And we're going to look at Matthew 28:18. And this is very similar setting. Jesus alone with the disciples after his earthly mission was completed. And he's giving instructions. Like Tasha likes to say, before you leave the house, you talk to the kids. Lock the door. Don't let somebody in. Make sure you brush your teeth before bed. Jesus is giving instructions as he hands over the mantle of ministry. Jesus came to them, the disciples, and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, like we do here at North Shore, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So in this scripture, we see and we take upon ourselves as disciples of Christ ourselves to complete this great commission, this great work that he's giving us to do. And there's two ways that we participate in the Great Commission. Only two general ways. We go and we send. Our God is a sending God. Abraham, go to the place I will show you. Jonah, well, it took him two tries, right? But he was sent. Moses, so go now. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And Jesus himself came to earth for his earthly mission. He is also a going with God. Emmanuel, God is with us. And here's a cool little tidbit. When God says to go, he's also saying, I'm coming with you. He's saying, let's go. Real quick, earlier in my ministry, I was trying to do the right thing, and I had a parent call me when I was doing youth ministry, and it was going to be a bad phone call. And she was mad about something, and I prayed, and the Lord said, engage. Like, that was what I felt the Lord said. I was smart enough to pray, and he's like, you have that conversation. You get in there. And it went awful. It went awful. Because what I did was I prayed long enough to feel sure that the Lord wanted me to engage, and then I left him behind. I didn't include him in the moments of the conversation, and in my own flesh, I made it bad. God wants to go with us when he sends us. He's not just a sending God. When he says go, he says, let's go. Now about that, the two parts. the going and the sending. I want to talk for a minute and even do something a little out of the ordinary about going. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about going. And if this is you, if I describe you, I'm going to ask you to stand up, and we'll have a couple different categories. And really, if it's not your day to stand up for this, that's okay. This is just like, if you want this blessing, then come and get it. But in regards to going, as us, as individuals, if there's anyone here who knows that on their heart that the Spirit has led them to go perhaps to the far places for Jesus, to leave home culture, to maybe go to a place where there's a different language, to be missionary, international worker. If that call is on your life right now and you know that, will you stand up? Yes! Round of applause, please. And stay standing, please. Now, part of today, part of being a part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance is like to begin to normalize that we can know the people that are being sent, right? That is so cool. Now, if you are here today and the Lord has put it on your heart to speak to a relative, please stand up. If you are here today and the Lord has put it on your heart to speak to a neighbor, to witness to a neighbor, please stand up. If you are, I said neighbor, if you need to speak to somebody at home or in your family, please stand up. And if there's a category that I didn't mention where you know that the Lord has an appointment for you and you want that blessing, stand up. Now, church, we're going to pray over these people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are ascending God and you are a going with God. Lord, we pray, the people that are standing right now especially, we are saying, Lord, if you make the appointment, we're going to show up. And we ask you to be with us. Father, we pray that you make it the most natural conversation in the world, that you get the ball rolling, and that we can just be your witness and say what we know about you. Father, thank you that you call us to help, that you call us to help spread the good news of you. And Father, give us a peace about this, knowing that you will be there with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Take a seat. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. God is ascending God. So that's for the people in this room. And Tasha's going to come up again, and she is going to help us understand how this little tray metaphor, this little drawer metaphor applies to us today. Because today is the day where, as a church and as individuals, we take a second offering at the end of service, and also there's other ways to give. But we are putting resources aside so that someone in another time and place can draw upon it. When we give today, it might be so that Chris, our friend Chris in France, can have a cup of coffee with somebody who almost believes. And he can draw upon those resources and have that conversation. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of examples like that, we can help set the resources aside.
The Alliance has four streams of mission sending. We can have that slide. And these are the four streams of mission sending. We've got CAMA services, which stands for Compassion and Mercy Associates. And those are the people who respond to disasters globally. So if there's a short-term disaster that needs like immediate attention, CAMA will go there. But they also partner locally to restore communities, doing things like pulling women out of human trafficking, educating people on the ground, making sure that there's clean water. And unlike other, like some other organizations, the goal here is to be a gospel presence. And when we do these things, we do it in the name of Jesus, and we give the cup of water to that person in the name of Jesus and create those opportunities to have conversations. The next is Marketplace Ministries, and both CAMA and Marketplace Ministries, they go to the hardest reach places. They go everywhere, but they have easiest access to the hardest to reach places, and some places are closed to international workers. Some places are really closed to the gospel. And the Alliance gets to go there through marketplace ministries. These are professionals who bring their expertise to a community and then work to disciple around. So these are people who couldn't ordinarily get a missionary visa, and we call them creative access countries. So CAMA and marketplace ministries are like the two that really have good access to countries that are closed. The third one is access, and these are like the traditional missionaries. They are pastors who go, and they go in, and they say, hey, they go door to door, they set up a church, they will build, and that's what the Laos are doing in Cambodia right now, and they just go from village to village to village, and Pastor Lau rides his motorcycle in a village and says, here, I'm here to teach you about the Bible. And what we're hearing out of Cambodia is that they say, we've been asking whoever that somebody would come to teach us about God, that somebody would bring God's word. So God is like prompting the hearts, and they're like, some of the things that are happening in Cambodia are just incredible. So that's access. They are like traditional missionaries. They go, they set up churches, and they can usually go into areas that are open to missionaries. And the last one is envision. And so if you are like thinking about missions, or you want to kind of get involved a little bit, Envision is a really good place to start. It is designed to develop and identify individuals who are marked for international work. And they are short-term missions, like 2 weeks or like 2 years. So Envision is the short-term arm. So our international workers function under kind of a unique support structure. And if you've been in the church and been around missionaries very long, you know that they have to raise their support. Within the Alliance, our international workers raise half of their support. And usually that's from their sending church. And then the other half comes from the Great Commission Fund. The Great Commission Fund is the means by which all of this work can be done. Now, I'm talking about this in like really technical terms, but none of this is made possible without the indwelling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that sends. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes the way. The real practical way that we are able to send people is with the money from the Great Commission Fund. And today we get to be part of God's sending through the Great Commission Fund giving. So we are going to take another, it's like so awkward, but we're going to take another collection, and we'll have those people, if they could get into position. And in our family, when we got married, we said we're going to tithe 10%. And the Alliance asks that churches give 10% of their budget to the Great Commission Fund. And then we have, in addition to that, we have a Sunday like this where we take a collection. And so Billy and I, we look at our finances and we say, what's it worth so that the gospel can go? Can we drive our car another year? Can we put off the kitchen renovation for maybe 5 or 6 years? I mean, it puts things in a different perspective when you look at your finances and you look at what you have and you think, yes, but we have a whole shelf of Bibles. And there are people around the world that don't have any. I mean, I just read an article in Alliance Life magazine where they showed a tribe getting their Bible in their own language for the first time. If you go to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., there's a whole room that shows all of the Bibles in all the different languages. And then there's a whole section of people groups that don't have a Bible in their own language yet. So all of that is part of the work that we get to be a part of. And so we're going to take this offering, but I want you to know that if you're not like ready today, so you can just put it in. You could put cash in there. Cash is good. You can write a check. Checks are better. No, you can write a check. That's fine. Just write North Shore Fellowship and then Great Commission Fund or GCF on the memo, and we'll make sure it gets there. But Jill, there's another like slide in there. Some of you might want to go home and take a look like and pray about this, but you can do this online. This is on CMA.org. org, give/give, I think. And look, if you say, oh, I want to give to the Great Commission Fund, and you say, I'm going to give as an individual, and then you put your stuff in here, and it's secure. And then down here at the bottom, would you do this one thing? Would you check this box right there? It says, I attend a U.S. Alliance Church. And then when you do that, ta-da, you can click down on New Jersey. And this was like one of the most exciting things when we became an official church. You drop down that menu, and it'll say North Shore Fellowship. So you can, and that helps us keep track of like all of, we want to know like and celebrate what we're giving to the Great Commission Fund. And in this way, by giving to the Great Commission Fund, we get to provide the resource, a resource that's needed in this time, in this place, to get a job done in a different time.